What's up, everybody, and welcome in to another edition of Good Karma Wrestling right here on YouTube, on Twitch, and wherever you get your podcasts, along with Brian Rowitz from ESPN West Palm. I'm Jonathan Hood from ESPN Chicago, and Gabe Neitzel, well, since he was yelling at Dave LaGreca, he has not been the same. So no voice after yelling after Dave, so no Gabe Neitzel on the broadcast here today.
It's a shame, but, you know, we're going to have to move on without him, and hopefully Gabe will learn how to speak again.
Boy, that sounds so harsh. It sounds like one of my wife's lifetime shows against the NFL that she watches.
There's other shows on when the NFL's on? How about that?
Yes, it's called white flag programming in this country. Just wave the white flag when the NFL is on, apparently. Make sure that you like, share, and subscribe to our content on YouTube and also our podcast as well. We can't thank you enough for helping us grow as we have another year of Good Karma Wrestling. Of course, if you're watching us on Twitch or on YouTube or even on X, all the ESPN platforms that we have for Good Karma, make sure that you give your comments as we go along with this broadcast here today, here on this 13th of February. Well, we've always got some great talking points for the show. What's the headliner? Before we get into the three count, what's the headliner of what we're going to talk about today?
Yeah, I mean, free agency news. Somehow we always talk about wrestling year-round. We learned over the last week, Ricky Starks, Malakai Black, and Miro all officially gone from AEW. And then literally the next day, we see Ricky Starks appear on NXT television on the CW. So, which, I'll use the word free agent, even though it appears Ricky has a home, will have the biggest impact moving forward. Ricky Starks, Malakai Black, or Miro?
Well, once again, another great question here on Good Karma Wrestling. Okay. And again, we want your comments as well as we go along with our conversation. So, Brian, Ricky Starks is the biggest question mark of all the free agents.
Yeah.
It's because he's got the mic skills. He has the wrestling ability. He has got the life story of living in his car in New Orleans and everything that he was trying to strive for. Everyone knows about the story of Ricky Starks. He's got the big matches in the NWA and also in AEW. It's all there. I want him to kill it in WWE. He's 35 years of age, and we haven't even seen the best of him as of yet. So I just think that we'll start there with Ricky Starks. It was so exciting to see him there in the crowd. Didn't say his name, but we know he's absolute. And it was great to see him. So I'll start with Ricky Starks as a guy that I think is the biggest, could have the biggest impact moving forward.
So when it comes to that debut, the NXT part's a little weird, no?
That he's not on SmackDown or Raw or Speed?
Yeah. Like, was that just them saying, oh, we have to be the ones, like, we're going to show anything can happen, and it's the day after we find out he's released? Like, I feel like it lost a little steam at the fact that it was NXT on a random Tuesday. When's NXT on Tuesday?
It was on Tuesday, yeah. I mean, so we're in a wrestling war, so you can't be surprised that Triple H does this because, as you know, we all know as a show, we all know as wrestling fans that Triple H is going to do whatever he can to put Tony Khan in a straight jacket. He wants to put him in a home because there's WWE programming everywhere. He will do whatever it takes to be able to make sure that the audience is smaller and smaller for AEW, including, hey, here's one of your own. Before your show on Wednesday, here's Ricky Starks. And so it's all on purpose only because it's a wrestling war.
So to your point, though, so Ricky Starks, I think there is definitely star power there. There's definitely potential there. We saw it with AEW, but it was up and down booking, which is so often the case when it comes to AEW. Mm-hmm. But to me, there's something about Miro. There's something about he's able to work the mic. He's able to be that big-time heel. We've seen it on the biggest of stages and what he's done at the WWE level. I think there's still a lot of untapped potential when it comes to Miro. And I'm excited about what that future is going to hold for him now, maybe with a new lease of life.
Of course, you say that because he has been a guest here.
That's right.
On Good Karma Wrestling. Yes, we have not had Ricky Starks, the pleasure of Absolute on the show yet. So, of course, you're going to lean Miro. The whole thing with Miro is strange. We had him on the show before he came back on the scene. And if you remember, Brian, he was just so at peace. His life was going in the right direction. He goes, I've been off of TV for a while, but my God is going to get me back to where I need to be. He was like talking the gimmick out, working the gimmick out on the show, if you remember.
Right.
And so it was just like, my God is going to get me where I want to be. I will find out, you know, who's been my enemies, all this. And it's like, okay, Miro, That's a fresh character you're putting out there. And he's out there, and you and I are sitting side by side at the United Center watching him in his meat match, and we thought, hey, something's going on here. And then he just disappeared. And it's kind of like, how do you keep that guy on the shelf? And I was surprised. I didn't know what to make of it at all.
December of 2023 is the last time we saw him in AEW. It's February of 2025 right now.
Yeah.
Like, we've talked about how AEW doesn't know how to book big guys. He is among the list of many in that company that, hey, you're really big and you can do things that most people can't, but we don't really know how to use you. Like, they dropped the ball there. And that's coming from, you know, the fact that the way they started, which was awful. Remember the best man gimmick during the pandemic? Like, remember that's how he opened in AEW. Like, they got him back out there. And I just feel like now him just saying like, all right, let me have a new energy. Do we assume all three are back in the WWE?
I'm not so sure. I think two out of the three. With Miro, I feel like the Rusev day is washed.
Sure.
Like, because look how WWE is now. Now, imagine Miro in that mix on Raw or SmackDown. Sure. Okay, so he gets some chance. But that seems so mid-card, where a guy that felt like he was on top against Cena, like a guy that could be the World Heavyweight Champion. Okay, think about Miro like in the Gunther role. Okay, like Gunther has been so dominant.
Yeah.
But think about Miro, like babyface or heel. I just feel like if he's going back, it has to be a fresher character. I don't know what that is, but I know that he can go. I just find it interesting that he hasn't even popped up in any of the indies. You know, when some of these AEW guys go away, you'll see him pop up at an indie. I've not even seen him.
And I wonder if that's the route for someone like him. Like, you know, we were talking about the Cardona route. Like, Miro main eventing indie shows and just doing whatever he wants, making his schedule. Like, that's someone you pay to see. Like, he has that presence about him that he can make you look like $1 million no matter who's on the other side of the ring. And maybe that's the route for someone like him.
He just... Again, I know it's just one conversation, but I've seen him in interviews as well. He just seems like a smart guy.
Yeah.
And also very content. I know that, you know, his relationship is no longer there. So I don't know if he's a single man now, but just the whole thing, like, I just feel like he had a knack to understand the business, at least his character. I don't know about anyone else's, but the way he laid out his thoughts about AEW, the way he laid out his thoughts about himself, I thought, now here's a guy here that can latch on and be really good. And I feel like with Ricky Starks, the same thing with Miro, that Tony Khan and the staff dropped the ball.
Yeah.
It seems so obvious. There's some guys, there's some women and men there on AEW TV that probably shouldn't get TV time, but I think that Miro and Ricky Starks and Aleister Black should have.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
These three all should have been AEW World Champion. I have no problem saying that. Like, they all, what they can do on the mic, what they can do in the ring, like, they all had the potential to be AEW World Champion.
That whole House of Black thing that I would see in the arena in Milwaukee or even Chicago, when their lights went out and their lights would come back on, lights went off, man, it was a great look. It was so unique, the entrance. And when the bell rang, they were able to do what they wanted to do in the ring. They were very good. The whole thing with the Aleister Black character from WWE that was in AEW, I thought was over. I thought that it was good. And all of a sudden, you know, like anything else, his time ran out. So if he goes back to WWE, again, I know that Triple H likes him. I can see him on a Raw or SmackDown. But for whatever reason, because he's got same face, because he's kind of a dark character, it's limiting. Brian, it's not world championship material in WWE. Maybe AEW, but not in WWE, because I think that, well, his character just gives off darkness.
Yeah. No, I agree with that. And also, I think there is something to almost being too creative. Like, you know, we saw it when he went to AEW, like still carrying over the eye gimmick. And was it Rollins that like took out his eye, like doing something like that? Like, he's in that Bray Wyatt mold. It was like, all right, we need to sort of rein it in a little bit. And I can see him almost having too many ideas where it's like, all right, I don't know if this is worth it right now.
Yeah, I think that anytime that you're in wrestling, if you can, if there's a way to be able to do something different with your character, be open to it. Mm-hmm. I think Aleister Black, as good as he is, like the educated feet and the kind of just the way that he goes about his business as an evil character. I feel like babyface or heel, that's who it is. That's it.
You know. I agree. So I'm curious to see what he does. He's another one that I can see maybe doesn't need the WWE mold. Like, go out there, do your thing. He randomly showed up on an indie down here in Tampa area a couple weeks ago. Like, go out there, do your thing. I know his wife works there. He's married to Zelina Vega, but maybe he doesn't need the WWE.
True. But don't you intrigued, though, with Ricky Starks never really having a run in WWE? Because think about it. You put him right there on Raw or SmackDown, people will know who he is. Mm-hmm. But if he's in NXT, he runs roughshod through that roster. He ends up on the main roster. And again, he's 35. We don't know what his medicals are. I imagine he spends so much time on, you know, off the road. He should be healthy, whatever the problem is at 30, but at 35. But I'm very intrigued on what that looks like, you know, and I think that he'll make the main roster at some point.
Yeah, that's why I'm curious even to see the NXT. Like, you're a bigger fan of Ethan Page than I am, but like those two seem to fit a similar role in what they do. So, like, I wonder how that coexists. I hope he doesn't get lost in the WWE umbrella. Like, they still very much are, you know, the old mode, and you have to have a look. And Ricky isn't that big, bad WWE look. But I'm hopeful that it could ultimately lead to some big things for him.
You know what I wonder about, and I don't know the answer to this. I don't know what the disconnect was between Tony Khan and Ricky Starks. I saw Ricky Starks on Chris Van Bleet. He was very sheepish, would not really say what was really going on. I watched the whole thing because I was trying to get some kind of answer of, like, what's going on. Of course, he's under AEW contract at the time, so he really wouldn't reveal a lot. But I was wondering, like, what the problem was with him. Was he so disappointed in the creative that he's like, nah, I'm not coming to work? Like, I'd like to know what that was, because a talent like that should be on TV. And I'd also, the internet will always tell you, well, you know, that whole thing with Edge.
Yeah.
With him going back and forth at Edge, when it was unscripted, like, and people think that that killed his career. I don't know.
I mean, the one thing going for him in WWE is the relationship with Cody Rhodes, though. Like, there are backstage politics. Like, those things do exist in pro wrestling. And having Cody in your corner is going to be a big positive when it comes to Ricky Starks.
And Ricky apparently spent a lot more time around WWE events than AEW events.
Yeah, that is true.
Because you know this, like, he's around WrestleMania, he's in a skybox. I'm sure a lot of these wrestlers sneak up and, you know, from other companies to check it out, they can get a ticket or get a pass. But, I mean, Ricky Starks said on CVV, like, yeah, I was there because I was supporting my friend Cody. Right. And I understand it's an old trope now. This is not like the Highlanders sneaking into a TNA show in Orlando and being fired by the WWE for sneaking in, watching a TNA show in Orlando. But the whole thing is like, you know, the fourth wall is broken. I mean, everyone's in the wrestling business. You want to see your friends, you go right ahead. But I'm thinking that if Ricky had any connection to AEW, he would have been backstage at AEW events, and I don't think he was.
No, it felt like he was just not there, which is the crazy part. But he's there now. I mean, I guess it'll be an NXT run to start. Jordan Grace also in NXT. They're starting to make Tuesdays maybe a little more must-see.
If you believe the numbers, I guess it is must-see on CW. It certainly isn't ACC basketball or whatever. I don't think that's must-see.
Well, they lost Live Golf, so they got to find a hole now.
So that certainly isn't must-see, but people are looking at this, and that's I think that because of the success of Netflix so far and the somewhat success of SmackDown, I think they're doing fine. I think numbers dip in hour three because Friday night, that's tough. It's a tough spot. That's why the good Lord made Saturday mornings or Saturday afternoons, man. Watching that live 3 hours on a Friday, that's tough, Brian. Uh-huh. But I think that if the more people that come from the indies or come from other organizations that start at NXT, the better NXT will be. So that way those veterans can work with some of that young green talent they got in that company.
Yeah, that's why it's weird. Like, the few times I watched, like, I watched the PLEs where you have the talent that's there, but yeah, some of that young talent, they are very raw. And some of those backstage segments are a little rough to watch, but it's a mix and people seem to be into it. So congrats to them.
It's only because, like, a Bayley will show up and, like, well, okay, right. Bayley, you know, and the way, and we've talked about it, you know, the way that we watch it. Like, we, again, with family and everything else we got to do in this company that we work with, we got a lot of stuff that we're doing, okay, besides our wrestling show. Maybe one day that maybe this show will just be dedicated to just wrestling and the three of us will just do wrestling. No talk show, no digital, no long meetings. Maybe it will just be this, the wrestling arm of the company, you know, because that's the reason why that the three of us don't have time to break down everything from NXT. Right. What we do is that we take a look at the clips. We'll see what's going viral, see what the matches are. Take a look, you know, because that's how we consume it. Another 2 hours on Tuesday watching some green wrestlers. Like we saw, like I did happen to tune into the main event of NXT this past Tuesday. It involves Ridge Holland. Boy.
Yeah.
It was a cage match. And it's just not working yet. It doesn't click yet. Not yet, but it's not great. So that's why Shawn Michaels says, well, at least I got an Ethan Page, I got a Jordan Grace, maybe Ricky Starks, somebody that can work.
Right. Well, that's why I was confused Tuesday, just scrolling through Twitter, and like I see Ricky Starks. I'm like, what is this? Like, is he at another indie show? Like, he just won the Defy World title last week. I was like, oh, this is on NXT television. I'm so confused.
If you really break it down, bring out the Defy Championship.
Right.
Put that on your shoulder, the Portland title. Put that on there.
Like, literally beat Kenta last weekend to win that title.
If Miro and Aleister Black return to WWE, of course, that'd be Rusev and Aleister Black because I'm sure they have the WWE names. They'll be on the roster, and they'll be in the middle of the card.
Yeah.
And that's a good payday. I'm just saying, if that's what they want, they can bring them back, but they won't be at the top of the card on these companies. But at least it'd be good to see them on television again.
Yeah, but I just feel like the mid-card right now, like, those guys get lost. Like, the way we see Hunter run PLEs, like, those mid-card feuds aren't in pay-per-view matches anymore. Like, you might get a match here and there and Raw and SmackDown, but, like, that's the extent of it. The rest of it is sitting backstage, also not even working house shows, which sort of sounds, I don't know, AEW-ish. But in their eyes, this is the better world, so best of luck to them.
See, you see how it works? The horses are the wrestlers that we see at the top of the card.
Right.
The middle of the card then get on the PLEs. They're the ones carrying the whole load, right? And you got a whole wagon of mid-carders and never get on the PLE. But they say, thank you very much for what you've done. You lost a lot on TV, so now we'll put the stars on the PLE.
Uh-huh. Like, that's just how they do things now.
All right, so we've got a three count, and also still to come, a terrific guest, a Hall of Famer, will be with us. It will be someone that has been a guest on the show before.
Uh-huh. Makes an official friend of the show, second appearance on the show.
Cannot wait to talk to Mickie James. She's going to talk about LFG, a new show for WWE that's going to be toward the end of our show. So Mickie James will join us on Good Karma Wrestling. But we got a three count. Let's start with number one.
All right. We're on the road to WrestleMania. Things starting to fill out a little bit. We know it'll be Jey Uso versus Gunther. We'll talk about the man from your neck of the woods, from Chicago, CM Punk. Who do you want to see Punk face at WrestleMania?
I don't know.
Okay, good.
and I know it's because I was hoping that you and I could talk it out.
Okay.
I know you're waiting for like this big answer from me, but I thought about it. Since our lineup was released of what we're going to talk about for the show today, I've been thinking about it all day. Brian, so CM Punk wants to be in the main event at WrestleMania. And he keeps pointing at that sign. And he talked to Logan Paul this past Monday on Monday Night Raw. And he left the ring after Logan Paul beat Rey Mysterio. And I'm just trying to think, okay, so Gunther is tied up with Jey Uso, and then here's Cody Rhodes over here. Cody Rhodes is not around. I know there's Elimination Chamber coming. And so are we looking at Cody versus CM Punk? Because if it's not that, I don't know what will get him in the main event, even though that's his goal.
Right. So that's the thing about Punk right now to me in terms of his storytelling is there's a lot of breadcrumbs that lead to potential Mania matches, but we don't know which way they're going. Like, yes, the main event would be him versus Cody for the title. There's the him and Rollins stuff. There's the him, Rollins, and Roman stuff. Even the little breadcrumb of the Logan Paul interaction on Monday. And, you know, that'll pay off in Elimination Chamber, but Logan eliminated Punk from the Rumble. There are so many different paths for him right now that there's a lot of intrigue. I agree with you. The main event is the big thing. It's the one thing he keeps mentioning to where if CM Punk is not in the Mania main event, that feels like a letdown.
I'm just trying to figure out CM Punk in the Elimination Chamber. He's qualified, is he not?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Okay. All right. So that's the only path. But then what's this whole thing with Paul Heyman and CM Punk as far as the favor? What's the favor? What does that mean? Does that mean Roman takes a step back away from this and that the championship opportunity is given to CM Punk in the main event at WrestleMania? Is it a three-way dance? I don't know if I want to see that. Punk Rhodes and Roman. Don't think I want to see that. Seems a little clunky.
Yeah.
It does keep away from the injury situation with Punk, though, if he's a third in the match. Right. So that, I mean, there's always that, because that's the thing, man. That's the thing. Like, the whole thing with Punk is that he has been often injured. He looks good body wise now, but that rough and tumble style in AEW and also in WWE, we've seen him hurt. And so right. I'm just trying to figure out the path outside of the Elimination Chamber for Punk to get there. And then what about Cena?
Right, and he even made that shot, like another breadcrumb there. Like, he took a shot at him on Monday where it's like, oh, he didn't qualify for it. But, you know, he's part of Elimination Chamber also. That's a match I'd be into. Like, this is Punk's first Mania. I guess, knock on wood, he's making it to Mania. And it has to be a big spotlight match. And I don't know, like, literally the only way, him and Cody is the only way he gets to the main event. Him, Roman Rollins, doesn't feel like a main event of either night. Him and Cena, I guess that could be a night one main event.
Does he want the world title, or does it matter? Does he want a championship?
He wants the main event is what he wants.
He wants the main event. Okay.
Right.
Yeah. So I've been thinking about this all day of what is best. Like, I keep seeing in my mind, like, CM Punk and McIntyre, but they're not rolling that back for WrestleMania, even though there's still heat there. You know, Kevin Owens seems like he's, kind of tied up with Sami Zayn, so it's not Kevin Owens against CM Punk. I just like that this is a good problem for WWE. And maybe, hey, I'm sure it's already in ink, in Sharpie, on what they want to do for WrestleMania, but the way they're leading us is really interesting storytelling. It's not confused. It's just that they're just, again, just handing you breadcrumbs, and then we have to decide what do you think is going to happen, and then whatever happens, happens.
Right, because he's getting involved in everything, and even Elimination Chamber, the way it's being set up, you can make a case for both those guys. We have Drew in it. We have Punk in it. We have Cena. We assume we'll have Rollins next week, Logan Paul. Like, all guys that if you said, all right, Cody versus this guy in the main event, I'm into that. Like, I think that'll work. So I think that's adding to the intrigue of next month's pay-per-view.
See, and again, is CM Punk in that favor? Is that bloodline related? I think it is adjacent a little bit because of the whole favor thing. But is Roman involved in a match against CM Punk?
Right.
What's the connection there? I'm talking about, like, if it's one-on-one, is that a connection? I don't know the answer to that.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, even the rumored triple threat, which, you know, seemed to be the path from the Rumble of him, Roman Rollins, like, that doesn't get me excited. Like, I don't know. Like, it's just complaining, and it's just not a lot going on there that – to me, it's Cody. Like, I think the Cody and Punk promo battles, like, we know when Cody's pushed, he's able to up his game. Punk obviously would do that on the mic. And I think those two could tell a good story for a month or so.
Punk and Cody, I think, would be dynamite. It would be fire. I'd love to see that. You're right. Those two in a mic battle, and then right up to WrestleMania, I think that's night one, night two. Well, it's night two. Because it's Jay against Gunther. It looks like that solidifies night one.
I don't know if they're closing the show.
you got a women's title match a little hotter? What do you have that's hotter than that?
I mean, at this point, I don't know if either Rumble winner is main eventing Mania either night.
Oh, so you're saying that they're cold. Charlotte and Jey Uso. I mean, you see what's happened with Jey Uso, though.
Yeah.
I mean, he goes, I mean, actually, let me just tell you, Jey Uso. A little bit over the top of the eating. He deserved what he got on Monday night.
Right.
That's enough. Three times, that's enough. So you're not going to wrestle, and you're not going to give us like a long promo. You're just going to dance your way through these shows. Is that what
you're doing? I know not to start the shows live anymore because I can fast forward to the first half hour. Like, it's cool poor in bastard. The moment if you're there, but watching at home is like, all right, I don't need this.
I'm imagine if you're in the arena, yeah, it must be crazy. I've not seen the Yeeting live in person yet, but I mean, it's got to be great. But like, you're going to a second and third round of this. It's like, all right. No wonder Gunther, you know, took his jacket off and threw it at a child.
Yeah, in person. Like, I took my kids to a house show, and the next day my 5-year-old said yeet to my wife, and she had to ask me if that was okay that he was saying that. I explained it. It is okay. It's not too derogatory. We're good there, but
yes,
it made an impact on them.
I mean, that's fine. But I mean, like, you know, again, you're asking for the encore over, like, do that at the end of the, this is why you have the encore at the end of the night. Last match, have them come out, let them eat for everybody, and then everyone goes home happy.
That's so I guess maybe they do close the show so that we can then eat for a half hour once the PLE is off the air.
I'm totally fine with that. I'm totally fine with that. Because
so I guess prediction now, I will be in Vegas. We will be doing this show live after Night One of Mania. Yep. I assume I'll be hiding in a corner of a press box. They will be eating as we do the immediate post show of Night One. Like that'll be going on in Allegiant Stadium.
That's no problem. You could turn the camera if you like and just let us see what's going on there. Turn it back. Just watch the eating. Yeah, that whole Punk thing, man. I mean, so I guess we should also bring this up too, like Punk at WrestleMania. So we talked about whether or not he'd be vying for a championship. And so I think that he against Cody is the best thing for him at WrestleMania and possibly Punk losing. I mean, you ready for Punk as the undisputed champion? Is he going to go around and do the house shows and go around and be on all the shows? I mean, again, you know what happens when he becomes champion. You've seen this, man.
Right, I know. But, like, he goes to all those things. It's the same path he follows now. He doesn't have to wrestle every week. Like, go out there, cut a promo, interrupt someone, have an interaction, and move on.
It should be that easy, but you know, Punker likes to get in their ring and like move around, you know, wrestle and all that stuff and get in pull aparts and stuff. Like, we've just seen it. And I think AEW fans became disenchanted with him after a while. It's like, man, we love you, man, but you can't stay healthy. And then it already happened in the company once in his return and Drew McIntyre to keep that thing together.
Well, so that's the other thing, though. If it's him and Cody, the crowd is not supporting Cody in that.
I think that's true. I think that's good. I mean, the kids will support him. The adults won't.
Yeah, so that's right. So then you're running the risk of Cody goes over, retains the title, and the night ending in disappointment.
Well, I mean, again, the kids will be happy. The kids love Cody Rhodes. They love him. He's QB1. They love
him. That is true.
Don't they?
Yeah. I don't know, though. Punk. People are into Punk. That music hits. They're going to be pulling for him to win a title.
Then the bell rings.
Yeah, what? He's not Jey Uso.
No, I'm just saying, like, you're concerned about a torn labrum. That's all I'm saying. That's all I'm saying. Like, no, I know that he can go when healthy. I'm just concerned about the wear and tear. What does that look like? Let's just put it this way. The trust is already there, Brian.
Right.
It looks like he and Triple H are fine. I mean, to this point, there is no, like, whether or not you want to go through a limo glass or anything. There is no Jack Perry situation in the back. There's no pushing and shoving. So far, so good.
Yes, but it's CM Punk, so that could change by Monday.
All right. What is next, sir?
All right. Talking about the WWE early on here in the year 2025, who is your WWE MVP of 2025?
It is Kevin Owens so far. I know we're just through the middle of February, but this is an extension from what we saw last year. He's doing great work. He's got the Drew McIntyre playbook right now because it's the trolling on social media. It's the crying in the car, talking about Sami Zayn. I would say that it is him, but I would like to ask you, though, whether or not you're good with seeing this again. You and I have seen Sami Zayn against Kevin Steen, for 20 years.
Yep.
I saw it in Chicago, maybe 20 minutes from my house here in Chicago Ridge, and it was a banger when Sami was El Generico. It was great. Right. But I'm just wondering, like, is this what we're going for WrestleMania? Like, we know that match is good, but then what?
Right. No, I agree with that. I will watch those two wrestle any day, any year. Doesn't matter. They've even talked about, like, those two are essentially neighbors. Like, they are best friends. They know what they can do. But yes, from a storytelling standpoint, it feels like a step down for both those two. I mean, like, they were involved in the main event, in the big picture of everything, and now this is going to be a mid-card match at Mania.
Yeah, I would say that it is definitely Kevin Owens because even post-Cody, he seems unhinged. Now, here's what I like about this whole Kevin Owens thing. It's one thing to be able to come out old school. You know, we're in this match and Cody pulled the trunks and that's why I lost the match. That's why I went through a ladder because he pulled the trunks. You know, he pulled my hair. You know, the wind was blowing. The sun was in my eyes. Whatever, right? Whatever heels used to say. But even this thing with Sammy, as they break it down, Brian, it's like, well, goddamn, I think that Kevin's right again, because
yes.
Sammy did not help Kevin. And so these things are brilliant, where you, again, if you're just a moron, it's like, I hate the heels. I hate the heels. Okay, fine. But Kevin's laying out in these vignettes, you see what happened there? I'm hurt. I'm in this ladder match, and my best friend didn't help me. But yet, my best friend is around the bloodline again. Well, wait a minute. What about me? Everything's what about me.
Right.
It's awesome.
Yeah, I mean, everything he's doing, like, he got us to care about Cody. We've talked about this. Cody title run has been sort of eh. But, like, that feud we cared about. We ultimately wanted KO to win the title at the Rumble, which he didn't. But everything he does is just telling the story. It's getting you to care. That's what Kevin Owens does. I wish it was rewarded with a title shot or something like that, but it is what it is when it comes to WWE.
You know, Brian, we've come to find out, and not just by speculation, just from the wrestlers that we've talked to, a lot of them just want to be in a long-term story.
Yeah.
Chelsea Green told us that.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, in particular, Bianca Belair told you that. We talk to these WWE wrestlers, and we ask them questions that we think we're going to get the answer of, hey, don't you want to be champion one day? Or, hey, do you see yourself at the top of the card? And they're like, nah.
Yeah.
I just want to be on television and tell a story, because this impressionable roster of WWE, young and veteran, they see what happened with the bloodline and they go, I want that.
Right.
I want that. I mean, I want something sustainable where I don't want a quick program and then out and I get lost. I want to be on TV, not just to wrestle, but to be on something long-term that people can remember. That's pretty cool.
And, as a fan, I want to see him win a title, but obviously he's happy. The reports came out. He just signed another new deal there. Like, KO is happy with what he's doing and all that stuff. So that match will deliver at Mania. I agree. He is the MVP of 2025 to the point where it's hard to think of who's even second at this point.
Like, I want to ask you that. I want to talk to you about that, because if we have a consensus that's Kevin, so where's the New Day on that list?
They're up there. They feel like they've lost a little steam because they haven't really pushed them enough. Like, I wish they were the tag champs right now. Like, I want to see them on TV more. I want to see them front and center and getting PLE matches, but they seem to have just sort of cooled off because they forget they have a tag team division.
I would like for the WWE to understand that you're on Netflix now. You don't have to get out because you have the local news to get out, go off, or just go to some kind of movie. You don't have a hard out. It's Netflix.
Exactly.
They did that on purpose. Just like, hey, wait a minute. Rey Mysterio lost a match, but here comes a New Day. Well, what happened there? You can't go to darkness. You can't do that. This is not the 80s.
Yeah, I don't understand that. But yes, I wish there was more there. Is Punk number two, like the way he's been involved in so much?
CM Punk. Yeah, I'm like post-Drew, that face-to-face with Cody still burns in my brain.
Yeah.
Because it gave you a little taste of what we might see in March leading into WrestleMania. I think Punk's there. What about Gunther?
Gunther just feels almost forgotten about at times. Like,
he's on TV like every week.
Yeah, but like, he wrestles once every 3 months.
The promos though are solid.
They are.
Yeah, like. Well, they're, here's the thing. They make him matter, Brian. Those vignettes to make him look like young Andre, like this unstoppable character, like this Rocky character, this Rocky opponent character. Like, this is. I mean, they've done a really good job with him. His English is a lot better than it was when he first came into the company. So he just become this supervillain. He pretty much admitted a couple of weeks ago that, you know, I am a person that can make the audience believe that I'm in peril, but I really was never in I had a problem against Jey Uso. Remember that, the whole lost confidence thing? I think that was against Sammy, actually. The whole lost confidence thing. And then he was like, I made the audience feel that way, but I was really in control the whole time. Like, this guy's got it all.
So a month and a half.
So I think he's on the list.
Yeah, it's weird, like, looking at his cage match right now as we sit in the middle of February. He has wrestled one televised match, and it was a Saturday night main event against Jay.
But he looks good in that that suit, that outfit, though.
Yes,
he looks,
that is true.
He keeps okay, but you know, it seems like, and I'm just, maybe this should be a side meeting, but I think we should bring it up. You know, I feel like on this show, we talk so much about the men's division of WWE, and maybe because the women's division isn't as strong as we'd like, because we haven't brought up a woman yet, like in this conversation. Like, who's that MVP on the women's side?
Chelsea. We're gonna.
She meant the most in the Royal Rumble.
Yes. She
meant the most. Yeah.
Everything she touched, like, worked. Everything she's doing backstage works. Like, I think it's her. Like, even Rhea's sort of falling off where she's just sort of waiting for her moment right now. Tiffy doesn't seem as hot. Like, I'm trying to think through the division.
Oh, you don't think Tiffy's hot?
I didn't say that.
Oh, yes. Well. Well, I'm glad that's on the record. I just want to make sure you're clear. All right, that's fine. Yep. Okay. All right. So Tiffy's hot right now, but yep. Not as hot on the TV right now.
Right.
After being champion.
Yeah. So I guess it's I think Chelsea probably takes the cake there on the women's side.
And that's on SmackDown.
Right.
Yeah.
That's entertaining.
So here's what happens. Some of your single stars have been part of tag teams. Like Liv has cooled off because she's with Raquel Rodriguez. They'll be tag team champions, I'm sure, again, as soon as Liv heals up from her damaged face.
Woof.
It's not ballet, pal.
Yeah.
it's not. You don't have an Asuka around to be wild. You don't get that. She's not around. You know, they're trying to heat up this young core, like Lyra Valkyria.
Yeah.
Good job, Lyra. Intercontinental champion, losing to Bayley. Good job. Shouldn't have been in the tournament, Lyra Valkyria. Probably shouldn't have been there, Lyra. But that's funny because I feel like we talk so much about the men because the men have a lot of interesting, different threads that's happening, Brian. But when it comes to the women, I mean, Charlotte's there, but Charlotte's has spent time at NXT. And she was, and I thought that I wasn't on the show last week, but I would have brought up it was weird that Charlotte does a promo from the floor on NXT and not in the ring,
right?
With Bayley and some of the young upstarts in that company. But you know, Charlotte just got back, so it's still, you know, she's not an MVP yet. So no one's, I think, outside of Chelsea, nothing really stands out yet.
No, not yet. But hopefully that changes the next few weeks.
I don't. And by the way. Speaking of that, so you feel based on what's going on now with the women's division that there's not going to be a woman that's going to main event night one or two in Vegas, right?
No, because, I mean, Rhea defends against Bianca?
Well, we've been waiting for that. Apparently not. Apparently not, unless something happens, something changes. We've been waiting for that for a while, but she's in a tag team. She's with Naomi.
But she's in the chamber. She qualified.
Okay.
So maybe that's the route that I could see main eventing.
Then what does Jay think of that? Because she's been absent as well. So, I mean, she's got to involve herself at some point.
Like, look. So right now in the women's, the qualified, Liv Morgan, Alexa Bliss, Bianca, Bayley, and still two more spots.
Just seems cold.
Yeah. Bianca is the only one I'd say that deserves a Rhea Mania match.
I would like to see that. Yes, I would like to see that. I'd like to see what Jade Cargill thinks of that, though.
Right.
Like, what's happening there?
Yeah, that story seems to just be forgotten right now.
See, so that's, you know, so I think that we've got Kevin Owens at the top of the card right now as far as MVP in 2025 so far. But maybe he has the best match at WrestleMania just based on he and Sammy being able to rehearse this for about 300 different times.
Exactly.
So I think that that's the case. And what about poor Sammy?
I know.
Where is he on the MVP? Where is he on the ladder?
I don't think, like, he's had his moments, but nothing too memorable at this point.
You know, I blame you for that.
Me?
Yeah, I blame you. You know why? because you had the exclusive interview with your hero, Sami Zayn. Uh-huh.
Yeah,
you could have been able to talk him up the way we talked up Daddy Magic on this show. Talked about, hey, Daddy Magic, you're going to be have a great 2025, because he came in here with low confidence.
Yes,
he did. Remember, because he had a shitty 24.
Right.
So we said, you're going to be fine. And now from time to time, we see him in jeans wrestling, and you know, he's back in there a little bit, you know, 2.0 is back, because that's great. So he's back there doing 2.0, but you had an opportunity to talk to a Sami Zayn whose confidence was down. It was down when you talked to him. You recall this, don't you?
Talk to him about being world champion. That should be enough of a confidence booster.
He told you he wasn't even sure.
I know.
Of himself. So sad. He wasn't even sure of himself. And you had an opportunity for your time with Sami Zayn to say, hey, man, you can be world champion. I think he will be one day.
I don't know. I'm starting to lose hope in that department.
Oh, well, yeah. I don't know about you, Brian, but I've always said this. If Brian Roberts loses confidence in you, then no one has confidence in you. I've always said
that's a good point. That's a good point.
Don't forget, still to come, we're going to hear from Mickey James for LFG, a brand new show on WWE. We'll have that conversation in just a moment. But first, we got to go to our next topic.
All right, the World of AEW, a bunch of title matches coming up. Where's the most likely title change coming? Saturday, two women's titles. Mercedes Moné defends against Harley Cameron. Mariah May defends against Toni Storm. And then it has been set, Revolution, March 9th. Mox defends the world title against Cope. So where's the more likely title change coming among those three title matches coming up in AEW?
All in Revolution, correct?
No, the two are part of Australia Grand Slam this week. Right. And then Mox Cope at Revolution.
It's too many shows, and they promote them all at the same time.
Uh-huh. Following NBA All-Star Saturday night. So tune in at about 1 a.m. Eastern Saturday.
That's not 1 a.m. Eastern. That's
it feels like it.
No, okay. So, okay, let's start here. Start the clip now.
Okay.
So let's start here. I, Brian, believe that AEW is doing a disservice to their fans by sending some of the crew to Australia for AEW Collision.
Mm-hmm. No, it's Grand Slam. They said it's AEW Grand Slam. It's totally different.
It's Collision.
Oh,
on a Saturday, it's Collision. Yeah, it's wrong.
Right.
Like, I understand it's Grand Slam, but ultimately it's Collision. And I've heard Tony Khan in some interviews said this could be the greatest grand, you know, collision of all time, this kind of stuff. And it's kind of like, man, okay. The way I would have done it is like I would have had a 3-hour show. The some of the show would have been on TNT, and the rest of it would be on Max exclusive. It would have been exclusive to Max. That's how I would have done it, because you're just trying to drag people to Max at this point. Yeah, like I know it's on both and it's a simulcast, but I would have tried to drag this to Max like an hour after the All-Star game, and then drag people to Max. That's what I would have done.
You get some Ring of Honor matches in Australia, so you'll get to watch that on Honor Club.
Okay, great. That's great. And I'll give you a report on that later. Thanks. Yes. Yes. I saw some of the guys excited to be able to be in Australia. So, okay. So as far as these matches are concerned, I don't know why Harley Cameron just can't upset Mercedes Moné. Harley's put in so much time and so much work. Look, again, I don't want to go through the 5-star match versus, you know, what makes you happy as a wrestling fan, but Harley Cameron with a roll-up on Mercedes does not hurt Mercedes. She already has three other championships. And to do it in Australia, I think that could bring the house down. I don't know where it is on the card, but here's the story. And they say AEW doesn't do stories. Here's a story. Uh-huh. Harley Cameron's been a joke, has just been a comedy person, right? Over with QT Marshall, just a comedy person. Here is Mercedes Moné on the top of her game as champion. She's a CEO, but here's Harley. She has played the guitar. She's a ventriloquist. She juggles. She can
raps.
Dance. She can rap. But here's the thing: we know about all these things, Brian. Don't know if she can go in the ring.
Right.
Don't know if she can win the match. And there's a story. A quick roll-up 1-2-3 is something that I would love to see. And I love Mercedes Moné because, you know, when she's inspired, oh, my God, she can put on a classic. We've seen it. But Harley Cameron, for me, for the time that she's put in, and some would say, oh, that's too much like WWE. Like, hey, man, it's something different. She had to do it to get TV time.
Right.
I would like to see that.
I 100% agree. And it doesn't even need to be a long run. Like, Mercedes can win it back at Revolution in a few weeks.
Sure.
But to have that moment, the one thing that makes me skeptical is the fact that we're going to be watching this on a 13-hour tape delay. And the way this card is situated, this feels like the middle of the show. You have Kenny and Ospreay teaming up. You have the Tony and Mariah match. Like, those two seem like the bookends. So Harley ends up in the middle.
Well, then, you know, if she's going to drop, if Mercedes is going to drop the title, it'd just be first.
Do that. Okay.
It'd just be first. Let it be first. So let's start the show on a high note. And then you just go on with the rest of the card. As far as Tony and Mariah May, they're actually doing the best work in the company. It's so funny, these companies, right? We talk about WWE where some of the women's are right. Like the women matches and the stories are cold. And I think that AEW women are doing some of the best work in the company. So
I agree.
When it comes to Tony and Mariah May, I just think that this is outstanding work. Outstanding work. Because every week it's something. Tony Storm, she's she turns into Mariah May for a match, and right. Thank God, can she wear that outfit again? Can she look like Mariah May again? Oh, she looks way better than Mariah May looks in her own outfit. It's all in the right places. But nonetheless, Tony Storm and Mariah May every week gives you something either in promos or some kind of screwy thing that happens. I'm sure that will be the main event in Australia.
I mean, Kenny and Omega, or Kenny and Ospreay are teaming up.
Yeah. I know. Hey, I know the match is going to be great. I'm just saying, like, Tony and Mariah, though, for the AEW Women's Championship.
Yeah. And also, by the way, this show is going to have a Okada and Buddy Matthews match just thrown in there.
Which will be a banger.
Yes.
Yes. An absolute banger.
So, like, it's going to be a great show, but it just sucks because it obviously is going to be spoiled.
Yeah, I mean, but look, as wrestling fans, if we know what's going on and we see what the finish is, it's not like we're not going to turn it on.
Sure.
It's just what it is.
I just wish there'd be more, like, that moment, though, that surprise of Harley winning, like, that would add to it.
Yeah, I know, but I mean, we're all going to watch anyway. We're all going to watch. As far as the other match, Cope and Mox, well, Adam Copeland should not be the face of AEW. And yeah. You know I'm a big, like, Adam Copeland / Edge fan. When WWE was not so cool, Brian, Edge picked up the slack, I thought. I thought it with Lita. I thought he picked it when it was cold. They're like, put the title on him. I'm like, boy, that's different. That's different. And I was like, it was cool. I liked when he was WWE champion. But I think at this time, I think that even though what we saw on Dynamite was interesting, was compelling somewhat, I don't think that Cope is the face of AEW. I don't think that's the way they go. They have to go with some youth, somebody that's younger.
Yeah, and that's the disappointing part. Like, I want Mox to drop the belt so we can finally move on. But yeah, it doesn't feel like Cope is that guy, which it'll be a good match. We know those two are pros. They'll deliver. But, like, all the stuff last night, like, it just felt unnecessary. Like, him banging on the briefcase, ultimately losing it again, and it's not good right now.
Couldn't open the briefcase.
No, couldn't. No.
So, you know, I'm glad it didn't open, because if they opened it and there's no title in there.
Which, you say that, and the way they keep talking about it makes me think that somehow there is going to be another angle of this where the belt's not in there.
Right. I feel like there's no title in there. The way you banged on it, I was like, the belt's a little bit more bulky than that. Don't you think there should be something in there? I mean, Shafir, she holds it on to it like a loaf of bread. Like, there's nothing in that thing. Like, I'm not sure if there's, I don't know. I just think there's no title in there, right? I mean, I believe in the Tooth Fairy and I believe in Santa Claus, but I don't believe that there's a title in that briefcase.
So even when Mox loses a match, the world champion won't have the world title, and we'll have that angle. So that'll be fun.
I feel like when I go to Texas for their show in Dallas, I think that maybe that'll be the time for him to lose a championship.
I think so at this point.
I just don't know who, though. I don't I don't know who that is. Swerve, yeah, MJF.
Darby's busy climbing Everest. Hangman?
He's getting hot, brother. He's getting
hot. He always does.
He's getting hot. And I know he's from Virginia, but it has a Texas feel to him.
Yeah.
That he can
they like
be
Cowboys.
Able, yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, if you could stretch this out to July, then maybe he could be. if he could just stretch this rivalry out to July, maybe he'll be the champion by then. But I think to answer the question, though, Cope not ready to be the champion, but I know Tony Khan. You got to think about how Tony books, because this is another former WWE guy, and Cope means so much to the company, and he was helping out in Asheville, North Carolina with the – I mean, that's the kind of thing that he does, right, to give it to – and I just think that's the wrong thing to do. You have youth there. You got to build that youth, and you've got to put the title on one of these guys to take off for 2025.
I guess the other possible route you go, Cope wins, and then Christian cashes in.
You want to see Christian as heavyweight champion?
I'm fine with that. Heel Christian as a champ.
His group is not strong enough.
No, they are not, but I don't know. I feel like there could be something there.
It's not strong enough, Brian. After all this time with this, I just feel like I like Christian. You like Christian. It's just not enough around him to make me think him as the heavyweight champion and him having a support group around him that's strong.
Right.
I don't know. I just feel like they're spinning their wheels there with that. I think he's had this whole thing too long. And we're still waiting for the Cope and Christian tag team to come back again.
Of course. Yeah, we need that one more time.
I think we'll get that run, I think, at least one more time. So, I mean, this is a great question. I prefer Harley to win over Mercedes. And I think you can still there's still more on the bone with Tony and Mariah.
Yeah.
And say Mariah wins. Okay. That does not hurt Tony Storm. She can get another opportunity against. And the other thing, too, is that the women's division is starting to heat up. Mariah should be, I mean, Thunder Rosa's coming up. There's a lot of Penelope Ford lately. So.
What's her name? I'm blank. The new girl who had her first singles match.
Oh, Bane?
Yes.
Megan Bane?
That stare down with Statlander, sign me up.
Yeah, yeah. I saw Bane on the indies, man. I thought, well, she's going to be something. She was in GCW.
Oh, okay.
I saw her in a GCW show, and I'm like, strong, powerful, pretty. Like, yeah, there's something there.
Yeah, her and Stat. All right, let's go.
Let's go. Let's get a power against power right there.
Yeah.
All right. So if there's nothing else, are there news and notes that we got to get to?
There are some news and notes, you know, releases, always a thing. WWE this week releasing a handful of talent. The names include AOP, Paul Ellering, Cedric Alexander, Sonya Deville, Blair Davenport, Isla Dawn, Giovanni Vinci, The Good Brothers, and Electra Lopez. All wish their best in future endeavors.
Okay, again, I know I've said this many times in the show, but I will say it again. You don't have to cut anybody.
Yeah,
You don't have to cut anybody. You know why? Raw, NXT, you have Evolve coming on Wednesdays because there's no other wrestling on Wednesdays, so why not Evolve? Wrestling war, brother. You got Speed, okay? You have a relationship with TNA on Thursday. So there's NXT talent coming in and out of Thursdays. You have Friday Night SmackDown. You have the pay-per-views, the PLEs on Saturdays, and you have whatever this AEW, this A&E show, LFG, whatever. You got that on Sunday. So it's not like you don't have a placement for these people. And you don't have to cut wrestlers, but they did.
Among this list, we talked earlier in the show about AEW releases going to WWE. Any of these guys or girls you want to see in AEW?
Give me the short list again. It does...
AOP, Cedric Alexander.
Yes.
Rumors already that the Hurt Syndicate, they will be out there. Sonya Deville.
Doesn't have to be in AEW.
Yeah.
Doesn't have to be. She can make $1 million on the indies.
I'm intrigued by what that looks like.
You know she can go, right? Like, so I think she's tough, and I think that she can I think she can go on the indies and do very well.
I don't think it's needed, but I'm sure they'll end up there. The Good Brothers.
Oh, God.
You know they're going to sign there.
Japan. Just disappointed. I'm just tired of that act.
Yes.
Just tired of the act. Just see, just fake NWO, fake, you know, just tired of those two. I'm just sorry. It's just like, it doesn't do anything for me, man. It just doesn't.
How about your guy, Paul Ellering? Do you want to see him on Wednesday nights?
No, that'll be all for Paul. I thought when he was laid out in Philly, we talked about it. Perfect. Like, put him on the meat wagon. Thank you, Paul. And he comes back. Like, why are you involved in this dead storyline? But it's like, why did he bring him back? Paul Ellering.
Yeah. That's really it in terms of the other. I mean, Blair Davenport, I know. We've seen some stuff in the indies. Like,
but why was that start and stop, though? Remember she was like, was it SmackDown, a three-way or some match, and then, like, disappeared?
Very odd. Huh. So
I would say UK indies.
Yeah.
Something like that. Go around. I mean, she's limited time I've seen her, but I think she'll be fine.
TNA also going through some releases this week. Josh Matthews, Christy Hemme both released. Hemme was TNA's head of marketing, while Matthews was a senior producer and the senior director of digital media.
Yeah, so Josh Matthews, longtime voice for TNA, went to the back and dealt with him a little bit and wished the best for him. Here's something I didn't know about Christy Hemme. Did not know she was in the company.
Yeah, backstage apparently.
I didn't know that. I did not know that until that release came. Like, oh, Christy Hemme's been working there. She was a ring announcer for a while. Right. Remember? She was like one of those, again, WWE castoffs. And they didn't use her much as a wrestler at all, as a matter of fact, I don't think. And before Samantha Irvin, it was Christy Hemme that was getting the job done as a ring announcer. So I didn't know she was part of the company. She'll make a return in the 2026 Royal Rumble.
Wow. All right.
Women's side. If people will remember her. I don't know.
Yeah, that would be risky.
Yeah.
We just saw the Superdome in New Orleans host the Super Bowl. Well, now reports out that they will be hosting WrestleMania 42 next year. They previously hosted WrestleMania 30 and 34.
Are we going?
Sure.
New Orleans. Oh, my. Superdome. Yeah. You know, folks, for those who have never been to the Superdome, Brian, have you been there for an event?
The 2007 New Orleans Bowl, FAU over Memphis.
That's right. Yeah, of course. You know. We all remember that. Yeah. Let me tell you, folks, you know, for those of us that have to cover events there in New Orleans, let me tell you something. You can sit in that. There's an actual 900 level in that building, and you feel like you're going to fall out of that place. It's high.
Yeah.
Everyone looks like little people. I mean, really little people, like little M&Ms. Because I've covered Final Fours there before. That's a tough spot there, but I think that we should be in the building for that.
I mean, if I get some shrimp po' boys, I'm good to go.
Okay, so good for them. New Orleans is a really good destination for any big event.
Yeah. And then this Saturday in D.C., NXT Vengeance Day, some of the matches on the show. The world title. Do you know who Obafemi is defending his title against?
No, who is that?
It is a triple threat match. He's defending against both Grayson Waller and Austin Theory.
Ah, that's right. So maybe the breakup of A-Town Down Under. Maybe that happens right there.
Feels like it. The women's title, this might be worth watching just for this. Four-way, Julia, Bayley, Roxanne Perez, and Cora Jade.
Don't know why Bayley has to be involved in this. Again, why is she in that matchup? She's busy. All-Star Weekend and everything else. So why does she have to be in that match, too?
Get some shine there. We have a strap match. Trick Williams versus Eddie Thorpe.
Yes.
Ethan Page versus Javon Evans. And women's North American title, Fallon Henley defends against Stephanie Vaccour.
Stephanie Vaccour. Shucky ducky, quack, quack. Whatever Booker T says. I don't know. Whatever he's saying. Commentary. Looks like Corey Graves is settled in at NXT, by the way.
Good for him.
Haven't heard a word. Everything's fine now, apparently. I'm settling in as the third man in the booth on NXT.
And then finally, news and notes. Saturday, you watch Vengeance Day. Sunday, AEW or A&E, wrong A letters there.
Yes.
Will debut WWE LFG legend and future guest. And we had a chance to catch up with one Mickey James, who will be a part of this.
And we are excited to welcome in Mickey James, going to be part of WWE LFG A&E Legends and Future Greats. Mickey, we certainly appreciate the time. What made you want to be a part of a show like this for WWE?
Well, you know, I'm a huge fan of doing groundbreaking things, of making history. And I think, you know, I was completely honored to be asked to be a part of this show with WWE and A&E, something that they've never done before in this whole different competition series, both between these 16 hopefuls, future greats, and the four coaches. And then to be considered, or called a legend and sit alongside Booker T and Bubba Ray Dudley and The Undertaker, in this, you know, whole coaching capacity. It's been wild. It's been a wild ride. But obviously when they came to me with it and when we talked, I was like, I couldn't say no. I was like, this is so amazing. And as I'm sitting in this space of like, okay, what's next? What else can I do? What else do I have to prove? What else is there to do in the world of wrestling? Because I love it so much and you can't escape it, right? Once you love it, it's there forever. It was like this perfect door that opened for me in this new capacity. And yeah, I was super honored. It was actually Hunter who suggested me for the role. And I didn't know how I was going to do or how I was going to level up next to these guys, but it's been so, so fun.
Mickey, the three of us thought that we're going to see you in the Royal Rumble, not just at ringside, but in the Royal Rumble. How close were you to participating? Because we want you to kick Trish's ass again.
I do. I still need to kick her butt. I know. I didn't want to step on her moment, you know, 25 years of stratisfaction and all this stuff. You know, I don't want to ride her coattails or anything, but I was there still watching Trish. No, I was honored to be there in Indy and then to see the Rumble. And obviously she did such a fantastic job. I even messaged her. I was like, dude, that outfit was fire. So good. So good. And it was a callback to like her debut, which I didn't realize that until in the hallway after. She's like, oh, you know what it is? I was like, oh, it looks so good. And she works so, so hard. And obviously she is, you know, the golden girl for a reason, because she's amazing. And she comes back and stops the show every single time. But this is not the last time you're going to see Mickey James.
Okay. Well, a little nugget there.
not the last time. Hopefully.
Someone we did see in the Rumble, Jordynne Grace, someone you've spent some time with. To WWE fans that might not be familiar with Jordynne Grace, what should they expect from her?
You know, I have been waiting. I've been biding my time and waiting for the day that we could say Jordynne Grace is a WWE superstar. And obviously, I think she did such a fantastic job when she came out in the Rumble last time, but now to see her come out in the Rumble as a WWE superstar, it's been a long time coming. I think if you know who Jordynne is, if you followed any bit of her journey from when you first saw her on TV to how much she's grown and her just transformation, and then to be this, she's a powerhouse. And I legitimately, you know, there's a few opponents where they go like, what's your favorite match, or what's the greatest match? And I think in my last stint, even with that last rodeo, that match with Jordynne was one of my favorite. I go back and watch it. I cringe when I watch any of my matches, even still to this day. But that was one of those matches where I go like, she really brought out the best in me, especially in a time when I was testing myself if I even belonged there. Because it's, you know, it's like, it was so, so weird. And she's an amazing athlete. She's an amazing woman. Got a heart of gold. Like, she saves animals off the side of the road. Like, this tough exterior of like this complete ass kicker woman. And then you see her with her 25 dogs rescues. I don't know. It may not be, I might be overestimating with 25. It could be 23. I don't know. But yeah, she's amazing. And yeah. I think the wrestling world, WWE is not ready for Jordynne Grace, the juggernaut. I don't know. Nor is that locker room.
Well, I mean, hopefully, you know, like you said, you were teasing maybe. That's not the last we see of Mickie James. We know she's going to be around for quite some time at WWE. But, Mickie, we're excited to see you in your new role as one of the legends on LFG, Legends and Future Greats, A&E. Thank you so much for the time.
Oh, my gosh. Thank you guys for the time. I appreciate it.
Well, it's good to hear from Mickie James briefly right here on Good Karma Wrestling. I mean, what should explain to the audience? Again, she had many, many talk shows that she had to be on, but we would have liked another good five, a good 10 minutes. Yeah. But we got five, and looking forward to seeing Mickie James on LFG.
Yeah, it should be a fun show. Basically, Tough Enough, which was always cool. But
it really is.
Yeah, that'll debut Sunday on A&E.
We turn now to the match of the week, Brian.
All right, I'm going to start with last night. AEW has trios titles. Were you aware of that? Because they were defended last night.
Yes, the opener.
Yeah, and crazy, you put those six men in a ring together, Death Riders, Adam Cole, Roderick Strong, Kyle O'Reilly, and you get one hell of a match is what we got last night.
Enjoyed that very much so. Went, I think, a half hour, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah, pretty close to it, right?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I really liked that matchup. And it's just, I mean, Wheeler Yuta, I believe he had the pinfall in that. Yeah. I believe at the end. I mean, but good for him because he's been seeing the lights a lot.
Right.
He's been the guy who's been getting beat. But it was good. I just thought all six guys, of course, worked together because they're all veterans. I thought that was great. I believe that we saw a great collision. So here I am in Carbondale, Illinois, of all places, right? The bottom of the state, covering Southern Illinois against UIC. We lost the game. So I drank my sorrows into a lonely hotel room watching Collision live for the first time in a while, right? And
all
I'm
right.
like, very entertaining. Very entertaining show, Brian. That in the main event in which you get Kyle Fletcher against Mark Briscoe.
Yes.
Don't know if you saw that, but it was quite the matchup. There's the main event.
The match I had for Collision, Bandito versus the Bad Apple.
Yes. They had time to work.
It's crazy.
No, it was a very, very good Collision. It really was. I was surprised. They did some stuff backstage, the whole thing, the music video of Harley Cameron, I think was that night on Saturday. I'm like, God damn, this show's good. And I'd like to shake the hand of who put this together. And then Tony Khan will be like, it's me. And like, no, not you. I'm talking about who put this together. I'd like to shake your hand because that was a fantastic show. I chose Briscoe Fletcher because Fletcher was pushed in this match. He was pushed to, and Mark Briscoe, who I hate seeing lose all the time, but he bled in this match. There was some risk that was taken. I'm like, that's a lot of risk for Saturday night. But they did it, man. And by the way, hats off to AEW. Their crowds over the last month have been fantastic. They're getting the right cities.
Yep.
And when you know, like when you're a wrestling show, when the fans are into it, they know the music when it hits. They know the moves. They know what to chant. Over the last month, AEW's had a home run in these crowds in some of these cities they've gone to.
Yeah, I think even some of the smaller venues have helped with that a little bit.
Yeah. When you know that they know, like as soon as the music hits, I'm like, "Yep, you're an AEW fan." It's not a mystery to you who's going to come out there. So I thought that was very good. I thought Logan Paul and Rey Mysterio, I'd like to see around the horn a little bit more. There were some spots there for Logan. You could tell he hadn't practiced that match very much, have you?
Uh-huh.
But there were some hiccups there. But I think that it helped Logan Paul grow. I thought in that matchup against a veteran Mysterio.
From Raw, I liked Bayley and Lyra. I also liked, and to your point, I wish I could see some more of it, War Raiders versus the Creed Brothers.
That would be great to see on a regular basis.
Yes. Like, didn't love the ending, but like if they could build something where those two on a PLE, I'm in.
I agree that it was weird for that to be a disqualification finish.
Yeah.
Chair? You're the War Raiders.
Right.
They were a chair in at the end, was it? Was it a chair?
Yeah, and then I think they used the belt. It was just unnecessary.
You don't need to do that.
No.
Because the Creed Brothers are so unusual. I think I've seen in my share of wrestling, haven't seen guys use their body that way.
I know.
In offense. It's very strange. Good, though. In a good way. It's just like, wow, that's unique. So a number of great matches, of course, we saw all over the weekend. We'd just like to let you know that interview that we just heard from Mickie James, that was already on our Instagram. So imagine if you followed us on Instagram, Instagram.com, Good Karma Wrestling. It was already there before we had our show. So again,
and it was on YouTube already. You go check it out last night.
It was on YouTube as well. YouTube.com, Good Karma Wrestling. So what we ask you to do is please like, share, and subscribe. We don't charge you a dime yet for this for this content. But while it's still free for you, make sure that you like, share, and subscribe. Everything we do for Good Karma Wrestling. If you enjoy it, share with another wrestling fan that you know. So for Brian Rowitz and for the ailing Gabe Neitzel, this is Jonathan Hood. We will talk to you next week with another edition of Good Karma Wrestling right here on YouTube, podcast, Twitch, and everywhere else that you get your great Good Karma Wrestling. Enjoy your wrestling, everybody.